talking about? I said, don't give him a loser's limp. That's, I stole that from Zig Ziglar, right? He's already got enough damn excuses. Don't give him any more, right? We don't, and the reality is, every one of us can have all kinds of excuses for why things don't go well. You know, I had this program lined up, and I had an outdoor event, and it was a tornado, and I couldn't do the outdoor event, and I had this thing lined up, and the principal wouldn't cooperate. But ultimately, all you care about is numbers, right? And the Steve Jobs story I love, and it was, and there's a lot of them, but this one was, every new vice president that got promoted at Apple, he would sit down and have a one-on-one with, right? And I mean, Apple's a big company; it's like the most profitable company in the world, and it's number one. Highly valued. They had like 70 vice president level people, right? But every vice president would sit, that would be promoted, he'd have a conversation with them. And he'd say, you know, in the world, there are positions where if you have a reason for why you couldn't get your job done, people care, right? He said, we're here in my office, and if the janitor on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday doesn't come and clean my office, and we ask, well, why didn't you clean Jobs' office? And he says, well, you guys changed the locks and never gave me the key. He said, that's okay. We'll accept that as a reason, and we'll go give him the key and give him the key. And then from now on, he goes, but there's a point on the hierarchy where reasons don't matter anymore. Results don't matter. And he goes, you just crossed the threshold. So don't ever tell us the reason why you couldn't get the thing done. You either got it done or you didn't get it done. You either succeeded or failed, right? We don't want to hear all the other reasons, because there is no reason to not get it done, right? And the more you have that attitude with everybody who's full-time staff member and keep them held their feet to the flames on that and keep them focused on the right numbers, the more success you'll be. And of course, the only way to get them to truly buy into that is for you to be that, right? If you don't live that, you know, people talk about our dream policy all the time, but in 25 years, I only fell victim to it once. And the one time I fell victim to it was, and by the way, when you're the boss, you can get away with all kinds of stuff because they don't know. I mean, right? They don't know what it was your plan was for you. They know what your plan was for them, right?
Right.
But the one time I fell victim was my alarm didn't go off, and it was an intramural tournament. We had 750 participants, and it started at 9, and I got there promptly at 10:45 because I overslept, right? Now, didn't make any difference. I mean, key rule of delegation is you're not integral to anything other than making sure everybody else is doing their job, right? Everything started on time. Everything was going fine. If I hadn't shown up at all, it would have been fine. But I showed up, and when we took a break, I said to everybody, hey, my alarm didn't go off. I was late. We have 18 rings going, 3 people per ring. That's what, 30, 40, 50 staff here today. So I buying everybody lunch, and on the way in, I called Domino's and had a stack of pizzas there and then bought everybody lunch, right? But see, that one thing that cost me $500 bought me more credibility with staff than anything I possibly could have done. Now, if I walked in, it was mealy mouth, oh, well, I had some other important things to do, and this is when I was planning on showing up. You know, even if they didn't know, I lost the opportunity for $500 to build credibility forever.
Right.
Does that make sense?
The West Point way of leadership.
Exactly. But let's do this. So for 45 minutes, our conversation is follow-up systems. Okay? And what it really is it's the step between getting somebody contact information from somebody who's at least a little bit interested to converting them to an enrollment and ultimately converting them to an upgrade or a renewal. And by the way, I will use the word renewal and upgrade interchangeably. In to be more precise, a renewal is you're enrolled for a year and we're going to extend the length of the contract. You enroll for a year, we're going to do another year, right? An upgrade is you're paying $200 now, we're going to put you in an enhanced program that's now $400 a month, right? Really, all the renewals that we want to do is you're bumping them to a higher price point as well as a longer period of time. But you'll hear me using those two terms interchangeably.
I can't read it from here.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Move them from contact that's interested to an enrollment, right? And again, we talked briefly about the range of quality of leads, right? I was an existing student on a contract. Contract came up or not. I dropped out. Well, they're still a pretty good prospect to get them back in, right? Or I came in for an introductory class and didn't enroll right then. And by the way, I was going to say this, Master Smith made a point earlier. There's a commercial running on the radio right now, and it's on a sales training course. And their premise on the commercial, which I believe is 100% true, is it says something like 80% of all people selling have not even read one book on sales in the last year. But it also says that 80% of your salespeople never ask for the sale. And rare does a salesperson ask for the sale more than once or twice, and often the sale takes asking for it 7 or 8 times before you get the sale. Right? An awful lot of people that have been through your pipeline, they either opted in on a website or they walked in your door or they came for an intro, never were asked persuasively, intelligently enough, appropriately enough times to get them to enroll. And if you want to anchor this in for yourself, how many people did you lose in the last 5 years that said, screw you, I would never enroll at your school, you guys are assholes and this place is a dump and I can't believe I wasted my time? How many of you had of that? You know, maybe occasionally you get a psychotic who says something. But my guess is most of the people you interact with liked you, were fairly impressed with the school, liked the deal, and didn't enroll today either because you didn't stay on top of them enough and it just got lost in the shuffle somewhere, right? I can't tell you how many things that I would have bought that I didn't buy just because something else comes up and I get diverted and they never followed up. That make sense? Or they really liked it and there was something else going on that had to be dealt with first, right? So, you know, I give an example of my kids. If somebody had come to me in the end of July and there's something they were both interested in doing and said, this is a great thing. Well, I mean, I have this week. Last week, he and I were in Sturgis. The week before that, me and the kids were in Disney. They were going to get me in September, right? They weren't going to get me for August, right? But if in September they're not there reminding me, I got to tell you, I'm kind of scattered. Got a lot of things going on, a lot of messages coming at me. I've probably completely forgotten they exist by then, right? So an awful lot of the ones, even if they came in and took a couple lessons that didn't enroll, didn't not enroll because you're an asshole. They didn't not enroll because your program sucks. They didn't not enroll because your school's awful. They didn't not enroll because they weren't interested. They didn't enroll because their life's busy.
They got sidetracked.
They just didn't do it now, right? Some other portion of them, you had this recently. I mean, your finances are better than a lot of our prospects. I had this recently. You know, I just had an $1,800 set of tires, a $1,000 set of tires, $2,000 of engine work, whatever. I mean, I had, you know, $5,000 in car ship, right? But for most people, you have a bunch of stuff like that. Your, what, transmission went out or something like
rear
that?
End.
Rear end went out. So $2,800.
Don't get one of your hands.
But see, a lot of times it's not that they enrolled because they're broke, they're deadbeat, there's no way they could possibly afford your tuition. Something just came up, right? I just dropped $10,000 at Disney, right? You might be hitting me for something that is like, well, talk to me in a couple months, right? So if you think that they're just not ever going to enroll because they can't say they couldn't afford it right now, or they're just not going to enroll because they got distracted, that's completely off base, right? The only ones who are like never coming back are the ones that somehow you made them mad, or they were totally unimpressed with you, or it was totally an inappropriate cultural fit, right? They come into a hardcore MMA school or a cross school and they were looking for Tai Chi, right? Two bad knees, I want something, you know, low impact, right? Well, there's no reason to follow up on that one, right? But you can have some examples of that, but most of the people who have raised their hand and are interested, they just got diverted, they're busy, maybe they had a short-term financial issue, whatever it might be, but it doesn't mean they're not interested now. When it's the kids' market, a lot of times it's mom is looking for something for them to do for back to school, and you got to them in June, and then you're not in front of them in September, and then they went off and did something else. And in most cases, it's not that they went to another martial arts school. They went to dance, or they went to music lessons or something. They would have come to you if you had been there to remind them. That makes sense? So,
Master Oliver, does that include those that say that that they thought it was too pricey or too high? And I realize that if they said that, we didn't show them enough value, but does that include those as well?
Yes. With a caveat, is when they, I always think of price objections as being one of two things, right? It's either this is too expensive for what you're doing, or I can't afford bus tokens and do karate lessons, right? And mostly I can't fix dead broke, but dead broke is usually temporary, okay? I mean, if you look at all the economic studies, at the top end and the bottom end, the top 1% and the top 10% of income earners are not the top 1% income earners every year, is there's constant mobility up and down, right? So somebody could be in the 40th percentile or the 60th percentile this year. Next year they're in the 1%. Next year they're in the 10%. Next year they're in the 50th percent. Next year, right? There's that kind of mobility. So broke isn't static, right? Now, not seeing value means you didn't educate them properly on the way in, but that doesn't mean you can't continue to educate them, right? And see, what we do in our marketing a lot of times is we just keep throwing an offer back down. Mm-hmm. Well, no amount of me deciding that this isn't of that value makes me now respond to another introductory offer, right? On the other hand, if I kept getting testimonials and scientific validation and all the rewards the school was winning and all of the happy students, and if I was getting the school newsletter with all the exciting activities going on, and you keep dripping on me with that, then all of a sudden you're elevating the status of value of what it is, right? Is,
can
yeah,
I
Fred.
The two differences in price objection, if everybody would agree on that, you know, dead broke or we didn't provide value, you setting a lower price wouldn't fix either of those things either.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you That's lowering true. The price doesn't fix the value. I mean, if you're charging $90 or $190 or $290, if you don't fix the value issue, the price doesn't matter. So this goes back to our other point. You can't solve that problem by lowering price. Ever.
Master Albert, 50% of the time when somebody tells you they can't afford it, they like the program, they see the benefit, they see the value. I can't afford it. 50% of the time when we ask the question, well, what is it? Is it the down payment or the monthly payment? 50% of them will tell us, oh, it's the down payment. I can't come up with that right now. So we'll say, well, no problem. Just put your first month's tuition. We'll divide out your down payment over the next 2 months. We'll put half of it down in 2 weeks. And when could you do the other half? And they, because they're on a budget and they're paid on a bi-weekly basis, so you kind of get into that and you'll overcome some of those just by putting it across the board and think that they can't afford anything.
Right.
And half of them will say, I can't afford either.
Yeah. But to stay on this topic is there's a lot of people you interact with that are a little interested, but they're not convinced. Right? Master Smith and I are both into cars and motorcycles, right? So, you know, I drive a 911 Turbo. But, you know, I had a Camaro as a rental car recently, and it was like, it's kind of cool. And the only thing that's going on in my mind is, you know, the 911 is a little small with a 13-year-old and a 7-year-old in the back seat. So what would be, like, comparable, but, like, you have a real back seat, and the Turbo Pan America is like 130, so, you know, is there something like intermediate
Mustang,
right? Yeah. So, so I'm kind of on that mode, but I'm not in any way at all convinced yet. Now, I had a rental recently, but it's a V6, and it's kind of okay. But if they kept dripping on me and educating me, then I might go from, well, I'm not going to get rid of the Porsche, but I'll, you know, that could be in the garage too for keep Jada from bitching about, you know, the car's too small, right? And maybe it's not that, but, you know, I have a need that's bubbling in my mind. because I have a 911 Turbo and I have an XC90 Volvo. And it pisses me off to drive the soccer mom mobile. But when I have the kids, I need something like this somewhere in between, right?
But even that mom mobile has
340 horsepower. Yeah. Well, and every speeding ticket I've ever had in the last like 4 years has been in a Volvo, not in a
except the motorcycle.
Well, yeah. Well, that's he's giving me grief because we both got a speeding ticket when I was leading, coming back from Sturgis, and we had topped out at like 95 and was doing consistently 85 and got a ticket for 76.
Right? And 65.
Yeah, 65.
Which was an open road.
This is Wyoming. I mean, it's, you know.
No cars in sight. Here comes a car coming the other way.
Well, there was a car in sight. It was the highway patrol. But anyway, follow up. So, to make this as concise as possible, once you know they're a little bit interested, you want to stay on, Joe, educating them,
yes,
and heaping proof on, and titillating them with stuff that's exciting to come participate in, and with compelling offers forever, right? Now, the more recently they've expressed interest, the more valuable they are.
Right.
But clearly, for at least the next couple years, they're a valuable lead, right? As long as they still live more or less where they were. And, I mean, that's really the thing. I mean, if they move from where you're at to Afghanistan, they're not very useful for you, right?
And super great prospects for your summer camps.
Well, yeah, well, in the kids' market, that's exactly right. So in the kids' market, you might have somebody who didn't enroll in the regular program, but they're a great prospect for birth. See, they're a great prospect to come and do their birthday party there.
Or summer camp.
Or summer camp, and you can go through the list, right? But from a standpoint of following up with somebody, once you have name, address, phone number, email address of somebody who's really interested, right? I mean, the place where you're going to have the highest conversion would be if you actually showed up on their door and visited with them face-to-face. Okay, so that would be number one. So I want you to think in terms of, if I showed up at your door, knocked on your door, Billy's there, I'm talking to Mom again, this is a kid's market, if I'm talking to Joe about the CROV program or the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu program, that's where you would have the highest percentage of him saying, yes, I'd love to come down, and thank you for bringing this information, and I'll see you tomorrow night. Right? Now, most of us aren't going to go to that level of effort and get in the car and follow them up. However, if your average enrollment was worth $5,000 and your conversion was 50% of everybody who showed up at their door, which would it be financially viable and reasonable to do that?
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, you might get it where that visit's worth $1,000. It's going to take 10 minutes. So, yeah, you might do it, right? And that's where the average value per enrollment has an impact on everything you do. Does that make sense? Okay. But number two that's going to have a high conversion rate is calling them on the phone and getting them live on the phone. Now, the demographics that are working against us, or the behavioral patterns that are working against us, are email is dying, and people are much less likely to answer their phone nowadays, right? So in the age of everybody's got a cell phone, some people don't have landlines, calling them on the phone is getting increasingly difficult just because a high percentage of them don't answer the phone.
Right.
Now, what I will say is most of the time we're just not consistent and aggressive enough. My rule of thumb used to be we go to a live event over the weekend, I want everybody called at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Because we knew, you know, 6 o'clock until 9, that everybody, you call them at home, they're having a family dinner and watching whatever on TV Sunday night, right? Nowadays, I don't think that dynamic works nearly as strongly, although that still might be a time when it works, right? But a lot of times what we do when we start telemarketing is we have a routine where every night from, let's say, 6 to 7, we put somebody on the phone. And then they go through the list and they get a lot of no answers. But what you've got to do is cycle through day parts and days, right? So you've got to go through the list at 10 in the morning, then you've got to go through the list at 11:30 to 1:30, then you've got to go through the list early afternoon, then you've got to go through the list late afternoon, then you've got to go through the list early evening, then you've got to go through the list late evening, then, you know, start over, right? So you've got to get good at mixing and matching that, right? When I took over NAPNA, that was one of the things is for one component of the business, and in this case it was client retention reactivation, the only time anybody was doing calls was from noon to 3 o'clock Eastern time on Friday. Nobody had bothered to think about getting hold of karate schools from noon to 3 Eastern on Friday at a bad time, which is translates to what, 9 to noon Pacific time? Do you think it's easy to get hold of martial arts schools, especially at their school on Friday morning? It's like the worst time. But nobody at the office had ever thought, well, you know, it's just when the guy was doing it and they put it into his time slot. So, but number two is still live outbound telemarketing, but again, keep in mind two things that's happening. One is people are much less likely to actually answer their phone, right? And two is email's dying. That's on the on down the list. But so number next, and this is not necessarily in exact order, but I would say number next on the list is text message. The advantage of text message is that it has essentially 100% open rate and it has immediacy. And you can give an immediate way for them to respond, and you can also get an immediate way to link them to the web address. You can also give them an immediate email or a video to watch. And Joe, in the case of the previous conversation, you can take them to a whole series of testimonial videos. They click, and all of a sudden the video plays live on their iPhone or Android phone. And nowadays, another consistency is almost all of our prospects have some level of smartphone, right? They have, in order of numbers, they have an Android or an iPhone or a Windows phone or some other damn thing, right? In order of demographics, the high end have an iPhone, the lower middle end have an Android, and then Windows is scattered, right? There was an interesting article I read. They have that new in-dash thing that Apple's doing that syncs with the iPhone, and it's got the same kind of menu. And Ferrari is the first early adopter for that, and then Mercedes and Volvo were the other two who were early adopters of that. But the guy talking from Ferrari about it was talking about they're also going to support Android, but he said, but 90 to 95% of our customers who buy a Ferrari are on iPhone, right? So that's an interesting insight into income demographics and how it relates, right? But so you have text message and you have direct mail. Okay. Then you have broadcast voicemail. Then you have email. And of course, we can subset all this stuff. But you have email. And then you can keep kind of going down the list, and there are other ways of contacting them, right? So you have what? Facebook and Instagramming and Twitter, tweeting them and all that kind of stuff, right? And I would say probably in today's market, you end up with, you know, going and getting them to like you and friending them on Facebook and direct messaging on Facebook is probably one step below that. The trend of getting them to like you on Facebook is okay, but it's not terribly useful because Facebook doesn't deliver all the stuff you sent them directly to your feed, and then you have to start promoting it. So directly messaging on Facebook is probably pretty good. I imagine most of them who see that respond to that to some extent. Getting them, you know, getting to be a friend of theirs on Facebook is fairly strong. Getting them to like your business is better than not having them like your business, but it's not getting you very far along, right? So there's that trend. And let's just kind of stop there for now. And again, there's all kinds of other social media type of things. You can get them on your Google Plus thing, and you can get them on different things. But what you want to get good at doing is once you have a lead, is remember you want immediacy, you want repetition, you want getting them from all angles, and you want long-term follow-up rather than giving up shortly. Does that make sense? Okay. And so when you put all this stuff together, so I'll give you an example, like on the NAPNA website, the way it's supposed to work, and I say it's supposed to work because you have human beings in the mix, but if somebody opts in, they immediately get a broadcast voicemail, they get a text, and they get a live outbound call. Okay? All happens as close to immediate as is possible, right? And on your website, the point at which you get contact information and you'd like to initiate an outbound call is as close to while they're sitting there at their smartphone, their computer, their tablet, opting in as is humanly possible, right? So if I'm now searching online and I give you a phone number and the phone rings and it's you, is you're more likely to get good conversion than if you call them in 24 hours. And 24 hours is a hell of a lot better than 72 hours, and 72 hours is a hell of a lot better than a week. Does that make sense? So we all have a tendency to delay and get to them slowly and therefore let them get diverted, right? Because when they're hot, and again, it's why you'd never want an incoming info call to go to voicemail. And I hear people logic all the time, well, they'll just leave me their phone number and I'll call them back. Well, remember, people don't answer their phone very much anymore. Getting in a phone tag loop doesn't do any good. Mom's hot to trot on getting the kids into a new activity today. She set aside the day to do it. You don't get hold of her till tomorrow. Already enrolled in dance. Right?
I have an example of what you're saying, and it really worked, and I want to thank you for
it. Go ahead.
I was on a conference call the other day, and you had said, call them up, you know, the immediacy. Call them within 24 hours, 72 at the max, which my program director hardly ever does because we're busy and we have demos and blah, blah, blah. And so we did this thing at the school, this orientation. We got about 170 leads or something at five different schools. And we went back and we called them immediately. I said, no, we have to call immediately, 24 hours. Oh, my goodness, you would not believe. We got so many appointments. We almost every one of them gave us an appointment. Now, we were giving away 4 free weeks of karate and a free uniform, but every one of them gave us an appointment or we left a message. And guess what? They called back.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. See, like, a lot of our schools will do a lot of, like, daycare demos or elementary school demos. My rule of thumb is I want mom to get a call between 5 and 6 when she's driving the kid home, right? Because now the kid remembers. And even better, what Toby used to do is go do a daycare demo and then send a staff member over at 4:30 and stay there until 6 and make appointments on the spot, right? But so much of this stuff is 2 days from now, I don't even remember, right? If you were in front of the kid or in front of them, we do these movie things like with Ninja Turtles. Well, I'd like it to be you just registered at a booth for an appointment. On the way leaving the theater, you got a text message from us that says, it's good to meet you, and we look forward to seeing you Monday at whatever time, and here's the address, so you can map it, right? But that level of immediacy. So if I made an appointment on Saturday, I'd like you to get a text message today, an email today. I'd like to get something in the mail from us on Monday, if it's humanly possible for snail mail to get there that fast. A live outbound call on Sunday night, right? I mean, that quick. I used to describe it, and I still should, you know, the half-life of a lead is, you know, it's 50% less valuable in 24 hours, it's 90% less valuable in 72 hours, and it's almost a cold lead after that, right? Now, the flip side to that comment is that what you're doing with all of this stuff is keeping them from going. They'll go from hot to warm, but you keep them kind of warmed up, right? Rather than let them go from hot to cold to they forgot all about you. So when you're continuously in their email, and continuously on Facebook, and continuously text messaging them, and they're getting postcards and packages and invites in the mail, you never get them to cold, but it's still not as good as I got them while they're looking at the website, or I got them at 5:30 on the way home. Big difference.
Could you address a simplified version of the live call so I can pass it on to my staff?
The outbound call?
The outbound call, yes.
Well, it's context specific, but let's say it's the school thing. So what did you do at the school?
It was really easy. I said, congratulations, you won. Because we had, what we did is we gave out some school supplies. We gave out just little notebooks I bought for 17 cents a piece. I bought 1,500 of them, and I gave about 300 out in each school. So everyone wanted the notebook, and then we had a big backpack there, and we raffled off the backpack full of school supplies. And then we also raffled off 4 weeks of karate with a free uniform, which everyone wanted. So I left, the principal picked out who won the backpack, and that was announced at the school. And then as soon as we got back, we started calling all the people that got the 4 weeks of karate, which was everybody. Congratulations, you won. And then when we got message machines, those people even called us back. Because I didn't say, I just said, congratulations, you won. Call me at Middleburg Martial Arts, here's the number. And they called back. And then the other one said, when I said, this is Jan from, this is Master Lap from Middleburg Martial Arts. And your child just entered this raffle we had for 4 weeks. And congratulations, they won. Isn't that great? Oh, yes. Well, so what I'd like to do is set a time for you to come in. And then we started getting so many, I had to start doing the group times because I wanted to get them right away.
Good problem
to have. So, yeah, it was a great problem to have.
And in most cases, you were getting to them, let's say, 24 hours next day?
Yeah, we were getting, I think some we called that night.
Yeah.
I think some we called that night and the rest the next day, but we did it right away, which my program director didn't want to do. She said, no, let's just wait till the school announces who won, because some of them, they didn't even know who won the backpack. She said, I'm going to wait till next week. And that's what we would have normally done.
Yeah.
And guess what? Then we have a crowd
10%.
It's an amazing difference. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, it's at least a 10-time better response, maybe 20-time.
Yes, and I have a question. How did you get there? If I'm understanding you right, you have their name and phone number.
Yes.
Now, how did you get
it? They had a drawing.
Yeah, we did a drawing. We did a drawing for the background. We did the stickers. We put a sticker on them that said, call here if you want, so they could call us, but no one does.
Yeah.
But then we got their name and all that stuff on the other side.
I missed that part.
And we'll go in depth into those kind of community.
They're giving you permission to contact. That's a good thing. That's your highlight.
We'll go in depth in that later, but we have a whole module on community outreach activities and things like that. But the thing to anchor in is how important it was to get to them quickly. An enhancement from what she just said would have been they come home from school that day, and at 4 o'clock they all have a text message, hey, you won the drawing, can you give us a call? Hmm. And on their voicemail at home they have a message, hi, this is Master Lap and we had the drawing, and oh my God, you won, can you give us a call so we can schedule a time? Now, all of a sudden, all 160 have a communication with you immediately. And the time gap would only be how long it took you to put in a spreadsheet all the phone numbers, right? So, but anyway, again, let's go back to this. So, most effective is you visit it face-to-face. Second is you call them. And again, keep in mind we're going from a hot lead, warm lead, cool, cold, right? And so the quicker you can get to them while they're still even remembering you exist, the higher your closing rate is going to be, right? Greg and Kim, remember me like yelling at you guys. Yeah, we got a bunch of leads last week. Well, why didn't you call them? You got them Tuesday. Why didn't you call them Tuesday? Well, that's the deal, right? It's got to be immediate, right? And now when you look at these follow-up mechanisms, what you have here, the most expensive of this would be this one. The second most expensive is this. The third most expensive is this. And then these are as close to free as you can get. Okay? Email, you're going to pay for a system, but the incremental emails for any volume that any of us would be essentially free, right? With text messaging and broadcast voicemail, you're going to pay per transaction, but I mean, like everybody here got the text, or most of you got the text about what room we were on and stuff, right? So who got that text? Okay, so everybody got that text. I think that cost a nickel a piece. And when I did it, I went in and bought 4,000 credits for $200, right? So now I can send 4,000 text messages for $200 until I go refill it again. Right? So, I mean, that's how cheap it is. Does that make sense? And so, broadcast voicemail is the same way. I think it's a nickel per completed minute. Okay, so if you did a 2-minute message, it's more, yeah.
I know with ESC's new software that we're using through Twilio,
yeah,
it's less than a penny a text.
Right, right.
What's the name?
Quilio.
How do you spell that?
P-W-I-L-I-O.
Let's not get distracted on that, because I'll keep my mouth shut. I'm going to give you a couple of software references, and if that one's working just fine, great. Okay. But the importance is text messaging, especially immediately, works really well because they read it and they get through to them, right? And again, does email work? Sure. There's a lot of people running around telling you all you need to do is do an email follow-up system. Well, yeah, you need to do an email follow-up system. You need to send stuff to people to email, but keep in mind that email is dying and people are overwhelmed with email. And it's not that you shouldn't do it, but it's foundational, but it's not adequate.
You
right?
should do it because it's free and easy.
Yeah.
But the open rates, a good open rate on an email is maybe 30-40%.
And more likely is much 7-10%.
Yeah. So you've got to get through a spam filter, and then you got to get through something else, and then you got to make sure they don't delete it.
You have deliverability problems. You have open rate problems. And frankly, email is much like TV and radio, right? Is the thing I like about direct mail is that there's something physical sitting on their desk or on their kitchen table or posted on the kitchen that if I was a little bit interested but not ready to do something right now, I have it and I like kept it and I stuck in my daytime or something, right? The problem with email, I can't tell you how many things I get by email that I'm a little bit interested in, but I'm not interested today. And 150 new ones come in every day. So if I'm interested next week, well, I mean, I have search functions and stuff, but I'm probably not going to. It's mostly I've forgotten about it, right? Because I'm certainly not going to go through 800 emails to go find it. If I don't do something with it today, nothing ever happens with it. Unless it's just informational. And by the way, studies with email, it's not that the next generation isn't going to use email. They're going to use it for work-related stuff. So I send you a file or I send you something you need to deal with, but they're mostly not using it for interpersonal communications, and they're mostly not dealing with it with any level of immediacy other than work-related stuff. Does that make sense? So communication... and this is even, I mean, I'm the same way, but communications has shifted to text messaging or Twittering each other or Facebooking each other or Instagramming. I mean, there's a variety of things. The only thing that's consistent with personal intermessaging is it's become very diffuse, right? So instead of there being like the one killer app like email was, is now there's 20 different ways, right? Yeah, what's the thing where it automatically deletes? Snapchat. So, like, Snapchat is big, so they Snapchat each other, and then it implodes, and so if you don't read it, was it 30 minutes or something like that, then it self-destructs. I mean, so, but it's become very diffuse, right? So, since it's become very diffuse, you need to use a lot of angles to get to people, okay? But is this making sense so far?
Yeah.
So now when you're designing a follow-up system, really what you want to do is hit them from as many angles as you can do with a reasonable... level of expense, but you want to hit them immediately, frequently, and forever, right? So, I mean, keep in mind those two things, immediately, frequently, and forever, from all kinds of different angles, right? So, the key word in a lot of this stuff, in the email world, which is now true of broadcast, voicemail, and text, is autoresponder. And what that means is somebody takes an action and they automatically, something else happens, right? So I put my email address on a website and I automatically get an email back. So you don't have to worry about, the secretary says, oh yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, and really she puts it on the desk and calls it next week. The machine sends it, right? Then you can do autoresponder easily with email. You can do it with text. You can do it with broadcast voicemail. Okay? And with voicemail, you can do it where it gives them a message when they answer live and gives them a different message when it goes to their voicemail, right? And so the live message could be, hey there, I didn't want to have a computer call you, but I wanted to make sure you knew you won the contest. And if you hit 1 on the keyboard right now, I'll dial you to our receptionist. We'll schedule an appointment to take advantage of that free month and the free uniform. Right? And if it was a really hot lead or a student, I wouldn't hesitate to do that. If it's a warm or cold lead, that's the most intrusive of all this stuff. So I would be hesitant to have a computer call them. Does that make sense? Okay. But so this is live answer. But you can do live answer with hit a number and it calls you back. So it automatically connects them live to you. And then you can do direct to their voicemail where it leaves a message. And the reason I like that is if you're going to call 300 people anyway, why not leave a message on all their answering machines as if you missed them? And the system gives a phone number on the caller ID. You can program that as a school. So if they see a missed call, they just redial and they call you back too, right? So now if I'm going to do 500 calls or 100 calls, they all get a voicemail, they all get a text, and then I pick up the phone and start doing an outbound behind it, right? So that way when I do get hold of them, it's already been warmed a little bit. You see how that would help, okay?
Yes.
Plus, if they pick up the phone and call you, it's even more strong than if you got hold of them, right? So the next thing to keep in mind is the term is sequential autoresponder. So now what sequential means is you can program it. You opt in on the website or you give me a lead, immediately you get a text, immediately you get a voicemail, immediately you get an email. But now, in 8 hours, you get something else. Tomorrow, you get something else. The next day, you get something else. Next Monday, you get something else. Next Wednesday, you get something else. And it'll go on forever. Okay? So, on an automated basis, email, text, and voicemail can be done that way. And some systems will work with mail houses where you can do autoresponder and sequential autoresponder direct mail. Okay? In practical terms, we've never gotten that set up where it works very well. But it's pretty easy to take 160 of them, zap it into something like Amazing Mail. And now, tomorrow, it all gets mailed out, right? So it doesn't have the same level of immediacy, but 160 of them getting a postcard in 48 hours, right, is still pretty good, okay? So everybody understand what I mean by autoresponder and then sequential autoresponder. And again, sequential is you're going to hit them, 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 right? Okay? And so from these follow-up systems, what we want to get really good at, and how many of you are multi-schools? See, with multi-schools, this is a big issue. With multi-schools, what I want to do is have things happen as much automatically so I don't want to have to rely on human beings whenever possible, right? Multi-school owners, you understand that that statement, right? And so the more I can centralize the data and get all this stuff to happen automatically, the better off I am. And back when I was running 5 or 6 schools, I tended to centralize the follow-up. So I would have the lead come in, and then I'd have direct mail, outbound calls, everything else done from where I could look over their shoulder rather than out at the different locations. What happened at different locations? 80-20 rule. If you have 5 locations, one of them was way on top of it. The other 4 were sloppy. And the bottom 2 put them in a box and said nobody answered the phone. Right? So the more you can centralize that and control it in a multi-school environment, the better off. Would you two gentlemen agree with that statement?
It's not just better off, it's critical.
Exactly.
And I think that's important, too, as you grow as a single school operation as well.
Yeah.
You know, just like delegating, you know, I don't know, your billing or whatever else you do, it's moving things off to a simpler system so you don't have to maintain it. And the less brain power I can apply to something, the better.
Right.
You might be scared of the setup if you're not like technically applying it. There'd be a lot of setup, but it really is pretty easy. And you don't have to write 10 years worth of emails and broadcast voicemails all at once. You just write the one you're doing now. Then, you know, a little bit later, you write the next one, the next one, the next one. Your current leads get those. And any new leads get just pushed into the system that you already built. You want to build everything at once.
And before we break for lunch, let me give you five or six quick resources, and we'll probably go back to the topic after lunch. But, you know, resource number one is now we're doing for you in the member site. I think it says done at DFY, done for you, right? Top right-hand tab, once you log in the member site. We're doing that kick-in newsletter every week, right? So first thing I would do is make sure that all of your new leads, all of your new enrollments are entered into that, right? And so on the done for you, we're doing kick-in newsletter. We're doing the Black Belt Club material. We're doing the leadership material. And we're doing that goal team. And this is designed for, like, brown, red, brown, black belt, instructor, assistant instructor training, right? So this is instructor training. This is your full-blown leadership program. That's self-explanatory. The kick-in should go to all new students, but it should also go to all prospects, right? So that's done for you. The marginal cost to you is zero. All you have to do is data enter it into the system. That makes sense? Okay. So that's one resource where here they'll get a drip system co-branded, NAPNA and you, which again, from your standpoint, gives you credibility because it's part of the National Association. They'll get 52 steps a year, right? And for the Mile High Schools, we've got a program where now behind the fact it automatically subscribes them to those things, as well as the other stuff. So, right, so it's subscribing them to all the Mile High Karate systems. It's also plugging them into the NAPNA stuff. So that's one resource. And clearly you should be taking advantage of that because, you know, you're already paying to be a member. You might as well use all the resources, right? The second resource is on email. And this is the one where there's a lot of really good systems. Is there's two software systems that I tend to use. One of them is the expensive, complicated. And the other one is the cheap and easy. And most of the time, I end up pointing people at cheap and easy rather than expensive, complicated, right? The expensive, complicated is a system called Infusionsoft. And if you were doing online e-commerce and a bunch of that stuff, it's probably the best solution, although it's still expensive, complicated. And for the behind-the-scenes backbone of what we do for franchise schools, that's what we use. From a standpoint of you're not doing much of anything now and you want to add on a robust system, the one I prefer is called Aweber, A-W-E-B-E-R. There are other systems that are fairly comparable, and you probably make an argument one way or the other. There's MailChimp, there's Constant Contact. Who's using something different like that? What were you using?
iContact.
Okay, I'm not familiar with them.
Constant Contact.
And they're all fairly comparable. I've used Constant Contact a lot. I like Aweber better than Constant Contact, although Constant Contact is super easy to use. Okay. But there were some options, so MailChimp, Constant Contact, Aweber, and so forth, right? From a standpoint of voicemail, now, Infusionsoft does email, voicemail, and a bunch of other stuff, but from a standpoint of cheap and easy to do voicemail and text, the best solution we've come up with so far, which is best combination of cheap and easy, right? You can do cheaper, but I haven't found a better combination of cheap and easy, is what's called Call Loop. And Call Loop will do voicemail, live answer, connect. It'll do voicemail to message machine. It'll do text message. It'll also do short code so they can text you, and then it subscribes them to the autoresponder, right? So you can have text MMA or text BJJ or text karate to 3864 or something like that, and then it'll subscribe them to the autoresponder, sequential autoresponder, okay?
What I like about calling them,
yeah,
is I had my program director just call them contact them directly. I didn't have to explain anything. They explained, they trained her in how to do it, and gave them follow-up if she had any questions to call back. So they were good on that part. And there's so many different options.
And they had live human beings to train.
Exactly, no machine.
I'm surprised they do that with their margins, but
you have to ask to speak to them.
Yeah. And with call loop, you can program it where you go set up a text that's going to go out immediately. Then you can set up a text that's going to go out tomorrow morning at 10, and then you can set up a text where it's going to go out, and you can pre-time it so it's going to go out, or you can subscribe them and then have as many as you want over whatever period of time you want that's going to go out. Okay, it's also, and there's some legalities we might should talk about, but the nice thing about call loop is they have unsubscribe easy, right? So if you just beat somebody to death by text and didn't let them unsubscribe, you could really end up with some problems. And you have to have permission all the way along the line for this stuff anyway. But they have an easy unsubscribe, so before it escalates into they're really pissed off at you, they can just take themselves off the list, right? Pete, you've used it quite a bit. Yeah. Comments or additional?
And I was going to say their support is hands down.
Right.
You usually ask your question to a website, and then depending on who gets it, they'll reply back directly with a call or a personalized email.
Yeah.
It's a great system.
Yeah. And you mentioned Constant Contact. I don't know about the system you were talking about, but Call Loop and AWeber will work together. In other words, you can set up one form, and then the data goes into both of them. Are you doing that, Peter?
Say it again.
Are you using them together where the data goes both places?
Yes, it does. We actually use the text to piggyback on the emails that they receive, so we have those tagged together as well.
Right.
And that makes the read ratio. I was just going to mention something because I was...
Go ahead.
When we've done events like at movie theaters or anything like that, and we haven't gotten appointments, we still enter them in for the text, and oftentimes we've had people come back afterwards and say, hey, you know what? I just they're walking
watching,
the movie theater. We know run times in all the theaters.
Oh, yeah.
19 minutes for the previews. And you know when they're walking out of the theater, and you can oftentimes just we've had people come back and just U-turn it and say, hey, you know what? I on second thought.
Yeah,
those are just the best.
And so you're sending them a text while they're in there watching the movie.
That or time so that when they're walking out of the movie, they're going by our table again. And
So they're getting it when you know the movie's getting out. But see that immediacy thing, right? Is it's so important to just be that on top of things, right? But anyway, a couple other resources. We were talking on the other side about direct mail, text messaging, email, broadcast, voicemail.
Somebody asked me about some of the sources to get the when you're trying to get specific, when you want to get a more direct contact and you get your list, with certain incomes and those type things. So
you mean your mail list, your compile list?
Yeah.
How to get a mail list? Okay.
Response list.
Aren't there companies to do this?
Response list is the probably the easiest for a compiled list is either Donnelly Marketing or InfoUSA. We've used InfoUSA mostly. So InfoUSA for a compiled list. So if you want to go get a list of everybody in your neighborhood that fits a certain criteria, you can do that. From a standpoint of a response list, that starts to get much more difficult. Not difficult, more complicated. There's a company called SRDS, Standard Rate and Data Service. In most cases, big city libraries, you can go to the library and get their books. They have big books of every list that's available. And you can go through those lists and see if it has a book of every magazine in the country. It has a book of every mailing list in the country. And they also have a website. I think it's like $500-$600 a year to subscribe to their website to go search for what you can buy, right? But in order to get compiled lists, that would be the first thing to go. Is to go research, again, SRDS. And then there are mailing list brokers. None of them come to the top of my mind right now, but there are mailing list brokers where you can call them and they can search down, the list. And all kinds of different lists are available. I mean, depending upon what you're doing. Some of you are selling stuff to martial arts schools, like the Black Belt Magazine subscriber list is available. And different things like that. So the next one before we break is direct mail. And with this, there's basically an unlimited number of suppliers, but one that I've been using a lot, and it's very much like Callloop, from a stand of ease and simplicity, is called Amazing Mail. Okay? And
is that 3D mail or is that 3D mail different?
3D mail is all of the dimensional stuff.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, 3D mail is you want to send them like something like this, put the message in and put a label on. That's 3D, and that we can talk about that too. Amazing Mail is all kinds of color postcards and different kinds of cards. It's relatively expensive on a per-piece basis, but it's simple, easy, and you can get something out. If you go in and enter a list today, they'll mail it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon from Phoenix, right?
The response is much better, 100 times better than the regular direct mail piece.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a long conversation, but Amazing Mail is just big oversized postcards, right? Now, the 3D mail thing is, that's a different conversation. But that's one recommendation as a resource. Another recommendation is, I've used a lot, is send out cards.
And again, who do you send them to? Your prospect list is important, too, because those that cost more, you don't want to send to just your zip code. It's going to be a more highly...
I only use Amazing Mail for, like, I want to do three cards to 300 or 400. I would never use them for a big list, right? When you're going to a bigger list, one is Get Members. Kim, what's their corporate name now? Aspen Marketing?
Yes, sir.
Now, Aspen Marketing.
If you go to getmembers.com, it still pulls up.
It does. Same. And you can do them, and they'll pull up the list for you. So when you go use them, they'll go pull from InfoUSA or Donnelly or whatever. They'll do the list. And they, so if you wanted to do 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 to a compiled list, they're a pretty good source and fairly reasonable.
What was that price again, sir?
It's called Get Members.
Get Members.
Yeah.com. One other resource I guess I would give you is if you're going to go to big numbers of direct mail, we use a company called Handy Mail. And they're in Wichita. And so if I was going to go do 5,000 letters, they're who I would use. Okay. But that's a good starting point. We're a little late for our lunch break. So what do we want to do? Do we want to do 90 minutes? Or a little less?
There's a buffet at the...
We do 90 minutes and then not break for dinner and we just go to end.
Yeah, we'll just go to 7:30. Let's see, it's 20 to 2 now. So if we start at 4... Okay. Is that right? That's 3. No, I'm sorry. Start at 3. So let's start no later than 10 after 3. So we can shoot me back at 3 then.
We'll be working on securing the room here so that...
you can just leave your stuff. Yeah, but the briefcase or notebook or something.
Laptop is a notebook.
What's that?
Laptop.
We're going to have a lockup.
So he sent you guys to just come himself, man.